You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
A warm welcome everyone along to the Punt Podcast. With William Hill, it's Dave Kellner here alongside Tom Kerwin and Derek McGovern to preview the 10 Premier League games this weekend. Recording this slightly earlier than usual this week, recording this on Thursday at 3:30, just before the Europa League matches involving Manchester United and Southampton later tonight. As always, it is Dave Kellner here alongside, first of all, on the line, Tom Kerwin. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
And Derek McGovern.
Mr. Bournemouth, you mean? What a win last week. People mocked. How they mocked. 4-1 Bournemouth. Yeah, I knew. He was never in doubt. Even when he was 2-0 down and not getting a kick, he was never in doubt.
You're a lucky devil, aren't you, Derek? You're a lucky, lucky devil.
Oh, how I needed that. How I needed it.
And Tom, you had a winner last week as well.
Yeah, last. A long last. Yeah, no, it was a nice one. Harry Kane, two or more goals. You felt, sometimes the obvious things are the things that happen. New contracts in a bag against a hopeless Swansea side. And I've got a feeling Swansea might be in my nap selection today.
I'm not revealing the updated Naps table because I had a loser last week, so we'll have to wait for that updated Naps table. I will try and get you that at the end of the podcast, listeners, but obviously Tom and Derek, both 4-1 shots, I think, last week, so leaped up the table. Let's get stuck into this week then. We start with Watford versus Everton at Vicarage Road on Saturday at 12:30. Watford 19-10 to win the match. The draw 12-5 with Everton at 11-8. And I think you'll agree, Derek, that Watford are one of the most difficult sides to predict this season. Those wins against West Ham and Manchester United showcase their quality, but they've rolled over against Liverpool and West Brom in the last month as well. Everton, they're just rolling over currently. They've lost Yannick Bolasie now as well, without a win in four. And even though their record against Watford is strong, they're unbeaten in 11 meetings with Watford. Both games did all end all square last season, so it's quite a difficult game to predict this, Derek, isn't it?
Yeah, and it would probably be even more difficult to watch. It's not going to stop you from going out to do your Christmas shopping this fixture, is it, at lunchtime on the TV? Two sides who I would suggest are underperforming. Everton to a massive degree. It's a long time since I've watched Everton and been impressed with them. Probably last season when they were getting hammered by everybody. But this season they're not getting hammered by everybody, but they're not winning and they're not impressing at all. Watford are responsible for probably three of the worst performances I've seen from any Premier League team this season. That was that one at Burnley, the one last week at West Brom, the Liverpool fixture as well. And I can throw in a 0-0 draw against, I think it was Middlesbrough. You look at them in the league table and that... They must have been picking up points when I was asleep or something, because I can't believe they feel so high in the league. They're a poor side, it seems to me. Everton are too short to be interested in. What are they, 13-10? You know, it's not poorly though Watford are playing. It's not an easy ground to go to and get a result. Liverpool found that to their cost last season. You said that both fixtures finished all square last term. It's the biggest price to draw this time around, and I can actually see that happening. It seems a very, very obvious result, a draw.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it, Tom? I think the draw will be popular here because both teams are lacking in confidence. Last year's meeting at Vicarage Road ended 1-1. I can see a few punters looking at that scoreline here.
Yeah, without a doubt, there's nobody sort of in free-flowing form for either side. You know, the goals have dried up a little bit for Lukaku, for Troy Deeney. And Ighalo, it's what a massive fall from grace that is. You know, he looks nowhere near the player who was banging in goals in his debut season in the Premier League. But I think the simple contrast on this one for me is the home form versus the away form. The reason Watford are where they are in the table is because they've had a pretty decent run at home by Premier League standards and by, you know, maybe those bottom 12, 13 team standards. You know, they've won three, they've drawn one and lost one of the last five matches at home. You know, scoring goals hasn't been a big problem for them at home, except in that game against Stoke. And you've got to look at Everton's run. I mean, one win from their last nine Premier League games and away from home, they've lost four and drawn one match. That was against Man City, when I don't know how they ended up coming away with the point that they did. Walloped by Chelsea, outplayed and outfought by Burnley. Similar story against Bournemouth, although it was a 1-0 scoreline. And Southampton, pretty much a par scoreline for them, is 1-0 at home. So I've got absolutely zero faith in Everton in this one. You know, without Yannick Bolasie as well, last week against Manchester United, it was Manchester United's deficiencies that ended up helping Everton scrape something. So I can see why the draw will be so appealing, but I'm going to side slightly in favour of Watford here. They can leapfrog Everton with the victory, and Watford's home form is decent. Everton's general form, but particularly their away form, is abysmal. Two goals in the last five games they've scored, nowhere near good enough.
That's Watford versus Everton. The tea time kickoff on Saturday is Leicester versus Manchester City. And that's a 5:30 kickoff. Leicester in the betting at 7-2. The draw 3-1. Manchester City in the market at 8-13. When will Jamie Vardy score again? That's the burning question here. I think he's gone 18 for Leicester without scoring. Did get that one for England against Spain in that international friendly. I mentioned this on the Midweek Punt podcast, though, Tom. Leicester, after 14 games last season, they'd conceded 21 goals and they were second in the league. Conceded 24 this season. They're down in 15th. It sort of masked their deficiencies defensively, Jamie Vardy's scoring record this season. Without his goals, they are now suffering.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, Jamie Vardy spent all his time, and I watched him. I seen him on telly this week with Piers Morgan in his back garden, you know, doing interviews. And I think, mate, the time to do that is when you're on top of the world and, you know, you're flying and no one can criticise your form, but now they can. I just get a feeling with Vardy, like a lot of players in that Leicester team, and it's natural, isn't it? It's a bit like a team, you know, being 2-0, 3-0 up at half-time and coming out second half, and it, you know, you let the other side back in and, you know, you get a little bit complacent. And I think that's what Leicester have become this season. I think for these players, they've achieved what they never thought they would do. And a lot has been written and said about them last season. A lot is being talked about this season, because as they slide closer to the relegation zone, or I should say the other teams at the bottom climb closer to Leicester, you know, there is no question they're in a relegation fight. And, you know, Danny Drinkwater's another big loss for them this weekend. This is obviously an incredibly tough match. You know, they were thumped, I mean, a bit of a second string team, but thumped by Porto in the Champions League in midweek. They've got the journey back there. This is a team that have won just three games all season, and they are playing, it might surprise you this, but they are playing the best away team in the league this season in Manchester City. They won six of their seven away matches. They have only kept two clean sheets, which tells you probably where I think this game is going to go. I think City, even without Aguero, are good enough to beat this Leicester side, who look like they can't defend, don't pose that same threat going forward. And I think it'll be quite an easy game tactically for Man City to get this job done. And the loss of Aguero doesn't worry me in a game like this. I don't think it's going to be a match where you need his brilliance to decide it. I don't think it's going to be that close. How it goes, I'm not too sure. I can't trust Man City's defence, though, even though I'm talking about Leicester not scoring. I can't trust them to keep a clean sheet. So two ways I'd play it, either City and over 2.5 goals, or Manchester City to win and both teams to score.
That price on Manchester City to win the game and both teams to score is available at 23-10 here with William Hill right now. Just to pick up on something Tom said there, Derek, I don't think there's ever been a good time to be stuck in the back garden with Piers Morgan.
You're dead right there. I'm surprised that you can fit in with Piers Morgan in the back garden. I mean, what you say about Leicester, you know, about, I'm not sure, Tom, if complacency is the right word. This is more than one way, but resting on their laurels, isn't it? More rather than complacency. I mean, they won the league last season against all the odds, and they knew they weren't going to win it again. You know, Lightning doesn't fight twice, blah, blah, blah. And so they thought, well, you know, every game we were at it last season, we've earned a break. And they just thought they could go out and you know, lose a few games and win a few games, and enough to stay away from any kind of relegation trouble. But all of a sudden, it's gone pear-shaped for them. And, you know, now they're staring over their shoulders because they just can't. They're in this lose rhythm and they can't get out of it. And they are in big trouble because Vardy, Jesus, I mean, he doesn't... If this was a horse race and a horse had dropped from the standard he showed last season to this, I mean, there'll be a student inquiry, there'll be all kinds of investigations because he's unrecognisable. I mean, he looked at Sunderland last week, he looked like a man who would have preferred to be anywhere else. Then again, Sunderland does tend to have that effect on anyone. I can't put my finger on everyone on why Leicester have gone so bad. People keep saying it's because they sold N'Golo Kanté. Yeah, he had a great season last season, but the reason they had a fantastic year was Vardy and Mahrez, and those two just can't do a thing at the moment. And they are there for the taking. They got taken apart by Porto in midweek. No surprise there, because they played, you know, an unrecognised side. But they're getting battered by everybody in the league too. And okay, City lost their ride, lost their temper, lost everything last week against Chelsea. But for about an hour of that game, they looked very, very tidy indeed. They looked real title strong title contenders. And I share Tom's opinion, even without Aguero, I can see this being a walk in the park for them. I just can't see Leicester getting a kick. And you know, rather than back 8-13 away from home, even though City got a great away record, I'll do what Tom does here. I can see goals, I can see Leicester scoring, and I can see City winning maybe 3-4-1.
Nice price, that 23-10, if you do like the look of Manchester City to win the match, but Leicester to score in the game as well. On to Sunday's televised games then, and we'll start with Chelsea versus West Brom at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea 2-9 to win the match. The draw 5-1 with West Brom 12-1. Two of the most informed teams in the Premier League going head-to-head at Stamford Bridge. It's difficult to envisage Chelsea not picking up the 3 points here though, Derek. They've been outstanding recently. Won their last 8 in the Premier League. Wins against Spurs and Manchester City. Puts them in the box seat in the race for the title as well. And Diego Costa, have you still got those reservations about Costa, Derek? Because he has been sensational for the best part of 18 months now.
Well, has he?
Yeah, he has.
I mean, even this season...
He's top goal scorer this season, Derek.
I've got a stat for you. Since the start of the 2013 season, he scored 70 goals in 103 league appearances. 1,700.
So that's just a little bit more than one every two. Aguero scores every one game. Every game he scores.
That's more than a little bit. That's like 70%, isn't it? Basically. Come
quick,
on, Derek.
I'm not knocking his goal scoring record. I mean, I couldn't knock Ruudman Nistelrooy's goal scoring record. Further back, Bob Rashford's goal scoring record. But with players like that in the team, I don't think you're going to be winning as many on as you should do. I've said this many times, a striker has to do more than score goals. People laugh when I say that, but he has to. And I always hold up Van Nistelrooy as the perfect example.
I'm trying not to laugh here, by the way, Derek. I'm trying
but
to stifle
it. It's the perfect... Try and argue that. You have a look at Man United's record when Van Nistelrooy, the Van Nistelrooy years. Considering what they won before he arrived and what they won after he arrived, you'll be amazed how little they won when he was in the team. It took Fergie 4 or 5 years to wake up to that fact. It really did, and then he got shut of him sharpish. And they'll realise that with Costa as well. I don't think Costa is a Premier League winning striker, even though he did win the Premier League. I know that a couple of years ago. Yeah, but that's the reason they won that is because Hazard was playing like Pele. That's the reason. And the reason Chelsea are doing so well this season is, again, because of Hazard, and the manager stumbled upon a back three that seems to be working, although for an hour last week against Man City, it was definitely malfunctioning. Chelsea are not as good as they cracked up to be. That's one thing I know for certain. Now, it's whether I trust West Brom enough at 14. Is it 14-1, did you say?
12-1, Derek.
12-1. You know, that's a big price for a team in decent form, West Brom. A team that have a habit of upsetting the big guns. I'm almost tempted, you know, because I think we're being fooled by Chelsea at the moment. I've never caught West Brom right. That's what worries me. What I will do, I think I'll play safe here and go for West Brom with a 2-goal start, which is just over the, I think it's around the 11-8 mark. I like a look at, sorry, not 11-10 mark. I like a look at that.
Okay. Derek going with West Brom +2. So basically that's West Brom to win the game, draw the game, or just be beaten by a goal in the game. How do you see it, Tom?
Costa hat trick, 14-1. Hey, he's no Solomon Rondon though. I've got to give you that. I mean, the way he put in that one performance against Burnley was just sensational. I mean, that's it. You know, you got Rondon against Costa, Dave. Your two favourite strikers going head to head.
Yeah.
I mean, look. You know, I tipped up Chelsea to win the league in this season. You were with me on that one, Dave. I think they're looking fantastic. And I think what was great against Man City was, what I've seen from Chelsea this season is how they've kind of changed slightly. I mean, there's a lot's been made of this three at the back and the formation they've played. But it's the kind of tactics in the game. Forget the shape of the team. It's how they've adapted game by game to exploit the opposition. And it's exactly what we kind of seen Leicester do to a point last season, in the fact that I don't think you can overemphasise how important it is that Chelsea have a week to prepare for every single Premier League game. They will be so well prepared for every single match. And even this West Brom side are not going to produce anything that's going to surprise them too much. And I think it's the way that they've mixed it up at home and away. I mean, people talked about Man City last year, about them being direct. All of a sudden, it wasn't long ball because it was Chelsea in the top of the league. It was direct. That's how they were playing. But they were brilliant. They were ruthless on the counter-attack. And at home, you might think you can't play like that. And they haven't needed to. The scorelines recently, 3 against Leicester, 4 against Manchester United, 5 against Everton. you know, and they beat a very good Tottenham side 2-1, and they fought back brilliantly in that game, and that's what they're doing. The last couple of matches, they've come from behind, you know, to get results. And although West Brom and Tony Pulis, I was reading, has, you know, a decent record against Chelsea, I think he's only lost one of the last four. A couple of those have come when Chelsea, of course, were on a down last season. This is a completely different team. I do like the enhanced odds here. I am going to go with the Costa goal. But Chelsea to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, I think it's a... For some people, it might be a toss of a coin whether this is going to be loads of goals or not, because West Brom, they haven't been a traditional unders team this year as they have been maybe in previous years. You know, some of their games have been hitting the overs, you know, easily. But I think this will be a tighter match for Chelsea. But again, a bit like their recent away games, you know, at Southampton, up at Middlesbrough, I think it'll be one that they get through, but it won't necessarily be sort of clear daylight. So I like the Costa to score. Chelsea win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 at 5-1.
Yeah, 5-1, good enhancement that from 9-2. Does look a good bet in that game. Manchester United versus Spurs is next, 2:15 on Sunday. Manchester United, a shade of odds against at 21-20. The draw is 5-2 with Tottenham at 5-2 as well. Enhanced odds, Zlatan Ibrahimovic to score and Manchester United to win was 9-4. That's been boosted to 3-1. And the man who's in form, Harry Kane, to score and Tottenham to win was 4-1. That's now 6-1. Tom, Manchester United have now drawn 6 of their last 8 in the league, and no team has given away more points in the last 10 minutes in the Premier League this season than Manchester United. And I think Jose Mourinho, who am I to tell him this, Tom, but he keeps getting it wrong tactically. He keeps going ultra-defensive when they are 1-0 up and looking to protect a game, and keeps getting burned every single time.
Well, last Sunday, you saw two teams with leads go about it completely differently, didn't you? Liverpool were trying to get more and more goals and ended up getting done. And Manchester United decided to shut up shop, sit back, and they got done with an equaliser. And, you know, a lot of it was made of, like, the Fellaini tackle. But I think as soon as you bring on Marouane Fellaini, the message it sends to the opposition side is, they're not even going to show any kind of ambition whatsoever. And I think, you know, at some point, the best form of a, you know, defence is attack, but it's just not Mourinho's way, is it? And I still can't be convinced about this Manchester United side. This is a Manchester United team that are nearer the bottom of the table than they are the top. You know, that's where they're at. They're sixth, yes, but as far as points are concerned, they are nearer to the foot of the table than the top of the table, and that says everything I need to know about them. Lots of draws, as you mentioned, but Tottenham have had a fair amount as well, particularly away from home. That defeat against Chelsea. Before that, there were 3 draws at West Brom, Bournemouth and Arsenal. You would have expected them to win probably at least a couple of those if they are right in the mix for a title run. 6 draws in their 14 games. I think you know where I'm going to head with this one. I think this has got a draw written all over it. And I actually think when you look at kind of Tottenham's Christmas fixtures, they've got some good ones. You know, Hull and Burnley at home to follow this one. Southampton and Watford away. I think Pochettino would take a draw. I don't think he'll necessarily play for it, but I think he'll take it. And, you know, Harry Kane is just in sensational form. So, I might look at him to score in a Tottenham draw. But 9-5 any time for Harry Kane, I think, is fantastic, because that Manchester United defence is nowhere near up to it.
He has got 7 in his last 6 in the Premier League now, Harry Kane. I must admit, Derek, I'm kind of attracted to that Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win. That's been enhanced from 4-1 to 6-1. And Tottenham, having thumped Swansea last weekend, won in midweek as well, admittedly still gone out of the Champions League in the Europa League now. I do like that 6-1.
It's too big. You know, that's too big, don't you? It's unmissable, because I do think Tottenham will win this game. The 5-2, and I'm traditionally used to getting about 4-1, 5-1 for Tottenham at Man United. I remember making them a bet of the day, bet of the century one year, I think, I said on this broadcast, and they did the business 2 or 3 seasons ago. What you mentioned there about Mourinho and his tactics, what was most pertinent, I think, last week was the reaction of the Sky Studio guest, Leon Osman, the former Everton player, who was aghast that Mourinho brought on Fellaini at 1-0. You could see he wanted to actually come out and say a few things, but reticence got the better of him. When he was at Everton with Osman, the words he said, we kept him away, as far away from our box as we possibly could. I mean, talk about damning a manager. Nothing was made about that. I was staggered by that comment, and it wasn't added to or embellished, because you can see that. The man on the street, like you and I and Tom, we can see that. He's an embarrassment. And the 3 managers, Moyes, Van Gaal and Mourinho, cannot see that this guy is not up to it. He is not up to it. And yet he keeps getting games, keeps getting brought on to mess things up. I just don't understand it. I'd do a better job managing Man United right now than Mourinho would. He looks a man shot to pieces. And Tottenham are 5-2. The way they've turned things around, Tottenham. I mean, I was a bit worried about them because they were underperforming to a massive degree. But there's something about them in the last 2 or 3 weeks where it says, well, you know, they could still have a big say in a title race. And I still can't get out of my mind that performance against Man City a few weeks ago. It was just the best performance I've seen in the Premier League all season. Mm. If they get back to anything like that level, 5-2 would be like the gift of all time here. And it's just hints that they are getting back to that level.
Very good. Liverpool versus West Ham at Anfield is a 4:30 kickoff, last of the televised games this weekend, and at Liverpool long odds on to win this match. 1-3 Liverpool, the draw 9-2 with the Hammers in the market at 7-1. Enhanced odds offers Divock Origi to score in a Liverpool win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 was 6-1. That's been enhanced to 7-1. And Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win was 16-1. That's been boosted to 25-1. Derek, we all know that Liverpool have been brilliant this season, but they do need to bounce back from that shock loss, or shock for some of us anyway, Derek, at Bournemouth last weekend. And the Hammers have gone 5 without a win in the league. So this looks like an ideal opportunity. I'm just concerned at the moment with Liverpool and those key injuries.
Well, I know. And the 1-3. Now, you know what I'm like back in Liverpool at those kind of odds. I'll give you an example. On Wednesday night, Porto were 1-3 to beat Leicester. And Leicester were playing a team that, you know, basically you knew from the start they'd given up the ghost, and Porto won 5-0. Now, Porto were certainties in that game, and I would have backed them all day long, even at those odds. But you can't say Liverpool are certainties in this game, even though West Ham are in such poor form. This fixture brings back memories of a couple of things. One time I went to the Liverpool-West Ham game when Di Canio was in his pomp for West Ham, and the visiting supporters started singing, "We've got Di Canio, you've got our stereo." For the greatest chant I've ever heard at Anfield, and there have been some good ones. And then a few seasons before that, I think it was a West Ham fullback, the left-back. I think it was George Parrish play left-back for West Ham, I think he did. And in the space of about 5 minutes, whoever was playing right wing for Liverpool put crosses in. And in the space of 5 minutes, 4 times they hit Paris on the arm, on the hand, to block the free kick. Obviously, Liverpool fans were screaming for a penalty, but they didn't get a single penalty. Fast forward to today, they'd probably get about 4 pens for that. That's how things have turned full circle. Anyway, that's by the by. Are Liverpool good things at 1-3? They should be at those kind of odds. The answer is no. Because what happened last week at Bournemouth, that dealt a devastating blow to Liverpool. They're now 4 points behind Chelsea. And things were looking great. Things were looking, you know, beating everybody well. At half-time last week, you couldn't see anything other than a Liverpool victory. What we saw in the second half from that defence, from the whole team, basically, and principally from the goalie, you're thinking to yourself, there's no way Liverpool are going to win the title with that defence and that goalkeeper. I'm almost tempted. I remember back in around 10-1 to win at Old Trafford a few seasons ago when Man United were in their pomp, probably more dominant team than Liverpool are now, and they did the business for me. I think I'll play safe. I'll go for West Ham with a goal start here. I've just got a funny feeling about this fixture. I think Liverpool are more damaged by that result at Bournemouth last week than many people suspect.
West Ham +1 is 12-5 in the betting here with William Hill. Is that a result, Tom, that with Liverpool and the style that Jurgen Klopp, the style in which he wants his team to play, is that something you've just got to accept, or does it show that they're fragile?
Oh, it shows that they're massively fragile. I mean, you know, even last season they were involved. What was the game at Norwich? Was that 4-3 or 5-4? And there was 4 or 5 goals late on, and they came out on the right side of that. There were loads of matches last season, and you know, I just think nowadays, you know, fans just want victories, don't they? I mean, you know, you want it to be entertaining. It's an entertainment business, and you know, it's fantastic for the neutrals to watch a game like that last week. But ultimately, you know, I agree with Derek. I don't see how you can win the league with the defensive cover that they've got. I mean, Lucas has been a good player down the years, but he shouldn't be playing at centre back. Goalkeeper's no good. And Bournemouth are exactly the kind of side that will exploit that. You know, I think if they sense weakness, they've actually got the capabilities, particularly at home, to actually do the damage. And I think what he said was a little bit about the character. You know, I talked earlier about Chelsea. They've been behind in their last few matches. They've been behind at home against Tottenham, and they've been behind away at Manchester City, and they've come back in both those games and won. Now that says a lot about them. That last week against Bournemouth says a lot about Liverpool. I'm not sure about this game, because West Ham for me are a massive concern. You know, Slaven Bilic, his comments last week were startling and alarming, and he's He's having, you know, he's held talks with the owners this week. I don't think they know what to do, West Ham. They look to me to be in a club in a real mess, lacking some leadership. He talks about the intensity in training has gone, or there's no intensity in training. I mean, that's pretty damning from the manager to say that. It's his responsibility, you know, the training. And I think basically you look at West Ham over a piece now of the last maybe 6-7 months, and you think they're actually a shambles. PR-wise, they're a shambles. The move to the stadium has been a shambles. Their transfer policy has been an absolute mess. And now there are players there that don't want to play for them. And Payet clearly is absolutely desperate to leave. And that's my concern in this game, is do I think the players will respond to those comments in a positive way? I don't think they will. And I haven't seen anything from West Ham, even away from home this season. I know they've scored goals and, you know, they maybe were unlucky against Tottenham, but generally their form has not been fantastic. And I think Liverpool will win the game, but that says more that I've got no faith in West Ham. So I might just go for Liverpool here, you know, just to win by a goal on the handicap tie. You can the correct score group betting as well, Liverpool 1-0, 2-0, 2-1 at 11-5. I could see it being that kind of game.
Liverpool -1, West Ham +1 in the handicap tie market. That's a decent price as well, 3-1 for that match handicap there. Liverpool -1, West Ham +1. Let's move on to the non-televised fixtures this weekend, and we'll start with Burnley versus Bournemouth. Burnley in the market at 23-10, the draw 23-10, with Bournemouth 6-5. Couple of enhanced odds offers, Sam Vokes to score, and Burnley to win was 9-2. That's been enhanced to 6-1. And Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win was 5-2. That's been boosted to 3-1. This reminds me, Tom, of that Burnley-Watford game earlier in the season where Burnley were over 2-1 at home and won. And I think they look overpriced here. Statistically, it doesn't look like a good bet because they're on that run of three successive defeats in the Premier League and they've conceded 8 goals in those games, only scoring once. But we've talked about it numerous times on this podcast. They're a much better side at Turf Moor.
Much better side. They've never lost in their history at home to Bournemouth. Although this is the first ever top flight meeting between the sides, and they've not generally met, you know, many times. But you know, Burnley Astro, they're probably, you know, their worst run performance wise and result wise of the season. I was looking at Bournemouth. You know, the wins that they've had have kind of been staggered throughout. They've failed to back up wins with another win. Each victory they've had this season, you know, they failed to back it up with a win. In fact, the last 5 times they've done it in the Premier League, they failed to win the next game. And maybe the effect that game has on Liverpool, maybe there's an effect on Bournemouth as well, because Bournemouth still are where they are. I think they're a top half side, and they're just clinging on to that position now in 10th going into the weekend's games. And I just wonder whether maybe there was so much talk about that match next week. Can they back it up? Because it's the complete opposite end of the spectrum for them. You know, they're going at one of the struggling sides, one of the teams with relegation fight on that on their mind, and they're going up to Turf Moor. It's trickier, but you know, having watched a few games that Burnley have had at home, however good they've been, they do leave a lot of space on that pitch. They've gone 4-5-1 or 4-4-2 this season. And, you know, teams that like to counter attack at pace have had quite a bit of joy. You know, and teams that have gone up there and you know, sort of got their act together certainly have. You know, Palace did well against them and scored a couple of goals. I mean, ultimately these teams still lost. You know, Palace and Everton, but they did have a lot of the ball at times and there were chances. I can just see there being goals in this one. Burnley obviously need to arrest the slide, and Bournemouth buoyed by last week, and you kind of throw everything into the mix and stir it all around, and I keep coming out with the same result here, a draw with goals. A draw and both teams to score is where I'm going with this one, 16-5. Burnley aren't in great shapes, and I think they'd probably take a draw again going into those festive fixtures.
Do you think, Derek, that too much stock is being put in the win against Liverpool and the performance against Arsenal as far as Bournemouth are concerned here with this price at 6-5?
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, isn't it ridiculous? This is what you get as a punter. Bournemouth were fantastic against Arsenal and get beat 3-1. And then they were useless against Liverpool and win 4-3. Now, I say useless. People will say, well, what about their comeback in the second half? I didn't see anything great from Bournemouth in that second half. I think Liverpool handed it to them. They just gave up. They thought the game was over and just eased off the gas and Bournemouth took full advantage. They didn't work any, you know, they didn't work marvellous openings. It was one of those games where you could just sense it out of sheer pressure. But yeah, the bookies are reading, your odds compilers are reading a lot into that result and the earlier performance against Arsenal, because 6-5 is mighty short. It is a mighty short price that. To go and win at Burnley, because Burnley have beaten some decent sides at Turf Moor, and we know it's no point for me. We're repeating it. They're just a different team at home than they are away from home. Another sound defeat at Stoke for them on the road last week. But you can't rule them out on a home territory. And the Bournemouth price is too short. I last week I remember telling everybody, yeah, Bournemouth are a very good side. I opened my eyes with their performance against Arsenal. And then they go and put in at 45 minutes against Liverpool. They did not get a kick. They really didn't. I couldn't. I was cursing myself. I texted you, didn't I, Dave?
Yeah.
Saying, what kind of a clown would tip Bournemouth? and then they go and do that second half, come back. I don't know. This fixture troubles me. Hand to heart, I would say the most likely winners are Bournemouth. But Burnley are overpriced. And really, as a punter, I have to go for Burnley because they are bigger than I thought they would be.
Burnley 23-10 for Derek. Look at the draw and both teams to score for Tom at 16-5. Hull versus Crystal Palace is next. Hull are 9-4 to win the game. The draw 9-4 with Crystal Palace 5-4. Abel Hernandez to score and Hull to win was 9-2. That's 6-1 now. And Christian Benteke to score and Crystal Palace to win was 12-5. That's now in the betting at 3-1. Hull, Derek, took more points in their opening two Premier League games this season than they have in their subsequent 12. That clamour for Mike Phelan to take over after he'd won those couple of matches, it seems misplaced, doesn't it?
Yeah, they've lost that loving feeling. That performance against Middlesbrough on Monday night, it was shocking, wasn't it, really? You know, you could understand them being so unambitious. Had it been a Chelsea they were up against or a Liverpool or an Arsenal, well, they were playing against Middlesbrough, a team that really, you know, okay, the tidy team, Middlesbrough, but, you know, nothing to be scared of. And Hull just didn't try a leg, it seemed to me. This is another Burnley-Bournemouth game in the odds because, you know, yeah, you think Palace have got a real good chance of winning this, but 5-4 away from home with a team that's only won one. And, you know, they've just stopped a run of six straight defeats and then only 5-4 to win away from home. I can't touch it. I can't touch that because it just... It goes against everything I believe in, and I believe I'll have another drink. I've got to go for Hull because Palace are too short. And in fact, no, I'm not. Scrap that last sentence. I'm not. I'm going to go for the draw. Basically, I have not got a clue. Hull are can't back because they're not good enough. Palace are can't back because they're too short. Therefore, I'm left with only one option.
Yeah.
Have a bet on something else.
The draw is 9-4. You say, Derek, it's a Burnley versus Bournemouth, but Hull are by far the worst team in this Premier League this season, aren't they?
Well, Swansea's performance last week might have something to say about that. But yeah, if I had to back somebody to finish bottom now, it would be Hull.
How do you see this one, Tom?
It is a tricky one, really, especially with the prices that we've got. I mean, you know, Hull picked up more points in their first two matches than they have from their last 12. And both these sides, I looked at one stat of them in terms of where they conceded the goals, and they've both conceded the most goals from set pieces this season. Hull have conceded 12. And Crystal Palace have conceded 13. The obvious question for that is how well are they scoring from set piece? And I think both teams will put an awful lot of, you know, sort of reliance on that in this game. I just see this being an you know, just a battle, really. Some people might think that Palace, I think a lot's been made of this idea that Alan Pardew, when he breaks from a losing run, he goes on some incredible winning run. That's not enough to carry my money at 5-4, no chance. So the only thing I can possibly see, even though there maybe aren't great players going forward in form, his goals in this one. And I don't mind the idea of over 3.5 goals at 11-4. I think it's one that Hull have to show. I mean, I watched them on Monday night. They showed very little ambition until they went behind. So it's one of those things where what was their game plan? Was it just to sit in and get the draw probably? But the problem with that is as soon as you concede, you've got to change because you've got to get a goal. And I think Hull at home will have to go for this somewhat. And I think we could actually end up with goals. And I think the price is kind of coming at my favour for that. So I'm going to back over 3.5 at 11-4.
Over 3.5 goals at 11-4. Let's move on then. Let's have a look at Swansea versus Sunderland next. Swansea even money. The draw 5-2. Sunderland are 13-5. Enhanced odds. Gylfi Sigurdsson to score and Swansea to win. Was 21-10. Enhanced to 3-1. And Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win. Was 4-1. That's been boosted to 6-1. Tom, it might have been a false dawn, that 5-4 win against Crystal Palace, because Swansea were hammered by Spurs in the most one-sided game in the league this season last week. And this is now Swansea's worst start ever to a Premier League season. 14 matches, just 9 points. That's 5 points fewer than they had at this stage last season.
Yeah, how they wish they could have Gary Monk back, but sadly he's busy. No, look, Swansea, I wasn't having that Palace result. I never thought it was going to signal the start of something amazing. It was just a crazy game, and let's think about this, right? They conceded 4 against Crystal Palace. You know, they conceded 4 goals. So I can't have Swansea in anywhere at the moment. I think they're absolutely doomed. More stories this week about, you know, the American owners maybe not happy with their own appointment of Bob Bradley. You know, that was just one born out of circumstance and convenience more than anything else. It's not against him. It's just you really needed somebody with experience to get that group of players going and organised. And David Moyes now is starting to show that with Sunderland. And there is, you know, when you look at the goal-scoring charts in the Premier League, you know, you've got Aguero, you've got Costa, no Rondon, you've got Sanchez, but you've got Jermaine Defoe's there. And that's what's going to give them a chance this season. I've changed my mind about Sunderland. I thought they were absolutely doomed a few weeks ago. And I know it's just, you know, it's a few results for them, but it's good enough for me when I look at it and I look at the fight and I look at the way they're playing to suggest to me that they're better than Swansea, they're better than Hull City, and then it's questionable who kind of gets dragged into it, you know, with West Ham, Leicester, Burnley, Palace, and even Middlesbrough, they're not out of it yet. So I think Sunderland will win this game, I really do, and I think the price for a Sunderland victory with what they've got in their team, 13-5, is brilliant. Cannot trust the Swansea side in any way, and at Sunderland are in a rich vein of form by their standards, but, you know, I think winning three out of the last four and the amount of goals Swansea are conceding, I think Sunderland will win.
Derek, you'll be all over them like a rash here, won't you, Sunderland?
Sunderland, it's just one. It's a standout price, isn't it? And there's absolutely no way that will be available come kick-off time because it's wrong. Swansea, even money. On what planet is that? Is that a fair price? It's just daft. The more I look at it, you know, those other two prices above them, Bournemouth 6-5 to win at Burnley, and you get Sunderland 13-5 to win at Swansea. I mean, it's a massive difference, isn't it? And just as likely, in my eyes, Sunderland to win at Swansea. In fact, it's home and hose. It's a ridiculous price. I'll tell you what, I don't think there'll be any longer than 2-1 Sunderland come kick-off time on Saturday. The odds are all wrong. And yeah, they're winning games now. Swansea don't look capable of winning games under Bob Bradley. I mean, Bob the Builder would be a better for them at the moment. they've just gone at the game. The players don't seem to be up for it. There's something seriously wrong there. Just a ridiculous price.
Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win will attract, I think, plenty of cash as well. That's enhanced from 4-1 to 6-1, so do check that out. Let's move to the game for the Gunners. They are taking on Stoke, Arsenal versus Stoke, Saturday 3 p.m. Arsenal 4-11, the draw 4-1, Stoke is 7-1. Enhanced odds, Mesut Ozil to score and Arsenal to win was 29-20. That's now 2-1. Marko Arnautovic to score and Stoke to win was 12-1. That's been enhanced to 16-1. Derek, brilliant performance from Arsenal in Basel midweek. Superb hat-trick from Lucas Perez. And because PSG could only draw with Ludogorets, it means they finished top of the group for once. No doubt they'll draw Bayern or Real Madrid now in the knockout stages and still go out in the last 16 again. And they did knock 5 past West Ham, albeit a below par West Ham last week as well. So Arsenal are turning the screw at the moment, looking good.
Yeah, that's West Ham's full name now, below par West Ham. I mean, it doesn't matter who Arsenal draw, by the way, in the last 16 draw. It doesn't matter, they'll still go out then. That's what they do. That's their MO. 4-11 against Stoke. The mind play tricks in you this fixture. You think, well, Arsenal have had a few problems with Stoke in the past, and you look back over the results and they haven't. I can't bring myself to back them at 4-11 against tidy opponents. I mean, you know, if they do blow hot and cold a bit, Stoke, on the day they look very, very impressive, and other days they just don't look up for it. If you could say that about a number of teams in the Premier League. But you don't mind having a go at that when they're 7-1. If when you have to back them at 5-2 or something like that, you quibble. You know, I'm tempted here. Arsenal have had the midweek game in the Champions League. You know, it doesn't help build up to this. Got a funny feeling about this fixture. Just got a sneaky feeling Stoke might edge this something like 2-1 because they've got players up front capable of scoring goals for them. Tidy win for them last week. I'm going to go in with them. I'm going to go for Stoke here. I just don't think Arsenal are as great as the recent results suggest because I don't think they've beaten anything of note in the last 2 weeks.
7-1 Stoke. Tom?
Yeah, I think Arsenal have laboured at home of late. You know, they've got wins, you know, but they've got the victories against Swansea and Bournemouth, and, you know, Swansea could have got something, Bournemouth could have got something. They've drawn against Tottenham, they drew against Middlesbrough. They thumped Chelsea, and that was kind of the start for Chelsea's revival. I mean, Arsenal, you kind of look at their run, you think, yeah, it's a 13-game unbeaten run. They've won 9 and drawn 4 matches. That's a brilliant, brilliant run. But a bit like Derek, I'm still not sort of convinced with them, especially at the prices we're looking at here for an Arsenal victory at 4-11. I can't trust them on that, given the fact that Stoke now have lost just one of their last 9 games in the Premier League. They're a big price to win this game, Stoke. I just still worry a little bit. I think they're a team that are going to struggle to score more than one goal. You know, if you're looking at them maybe needing to score 3 to win this game, which they could have to do, you know, they're still playing Arsenal away. I don't think they're capable of doing it. I think they are, like they showed at Watford, like a 1-0 kind of team. But I think against Arsenal, it's kind of how that they approach this game. And I'm still not sure they've got enough pace to kind of worry Arsenal. But Arsenal are conceding goals at home. I've looked at an Arsenal winner and both teams to score, but it's still quite skinny at 13-8. I do like it, but I think you've got to just go with the man in form. I mean, Sanchez was just irresistible last week against West Ham. And at 16-5, 2 or more. It worked for another North London club last week about Harry Kane. And I'm going to go for that in this one. I just think everything that's great about Arsenal is going through him at the moment.
Final fixture at St Mary's. It's Southampton versus Middlesbrough. Southampton 6-10. The draw 11-4. Middlesbrough 5-1. Charlie Austin to score and Southampton to win. That was 13-8, now 2-1. Alvaro Negredo to score and Borough to win was 8-1. That's been enhanced to 10-1. Derek, you must curse Southampton every time they play, because you say the compilers are getting them right and they go on a skid, and then they're too short and they start winning. It must be sickening to see Southampton on that coupon.
Yeah, well, and 19 other teams as well. you mentioned value to most punters and their eyes glaze over. I know that. I mean, I have that effect, whatever the subject. But to shrewd punters, finding the value is one of the two key planks of betting. I'm the other. You've got to say that Middlesbrough are 5-1 here are value with a capital everything. Maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago I wouldn't have said that, because I was leaping aboard the Southampton bandwagon 18 months after everybody else was on it. But since then they've been hopeless, really. And that performance and result last week gives you an idea that all is not well there. And they were in action on Thursday night, or they are in action on Thursday night in the Europa League. We know from teams of similar ilk, the Ipswiches of this world, the Fulhams of this world, when teams like that play 3 days later on a Sunday, the results are not that great. And say what you like about Middlesbrough, they're a tidy side who are not going to get rolled over by anybody. You fancy them to go to any ground, apart from maybe the top 3 or 4, and give a real good account of themselves. And a 5-1 here, I can't miss that. I can't. In fact, I know where my better the day is. It's at St Mary's, and it's in Southampton.
Middlesbrough 5-1 for Derek. This is 12th versus 13th in the league, Tom. Southampton down in 12th this season with Middlesbrough doing well in 13th. And I talk Karanka, mentioned it on last week's punt. I've been impressed with him. I could see this being a 0-0 draw. I think this is low on the goals here.
Dave, you took the words out of my mouth. If ever I got invited, it's never going to happen on Room 101, I would put this fixture in this exact weekend. I'm not joking. This just looks for me a bit of most... I mean, I'm glad it's last, because it's a bit like being last on Match of the Day. I think most people have switched off by now. Southampton, Middlesbrough. I mean, I was looking at some of the stats. In all their games this season, all their matches combined, there's been just 28 goals, okay? Wow. That's the two lowest in the division for goals in their games. Middlesbrough have had 36 shots in 14 matches. Southampton have only allowed their opponents 35 shots this season. Southampton's European game as well might have a little effect. And I agree with Derek about the value on Middlesbrough. There's no question about that. But my word, if we get one goal, I think we'll be very lucky. So, the 0-0 draw at 70-2 doesn't look too bad, but I think I might just think this is a one-goaler, and under 1.5 goals at 21-10 is where I'd head. But I will not be tuning in.
I agree with you. I think that could be low on the goals, definitely. Under 2.5, by the way. It's 4-6 in the game. I am going to be having a few quid on the 0-0 draw there at 17-2. Let me update you with the Naps tables, or the Naps table, listeners. Tom and Derek both had 4-1 winners last week, so that makes it look a lot more respectable. Derek, you're still minus £44.50, so you need a couple more 4-1 winners in the next few weeks.
After Middlesbrough this week, I'll be in profit.
Tom, you're plus £16.
Wow.
I had a loser last week with Everton. I'm plus £73.50, so it's looking healthy, that Naps table. Derek, you're sticking with Middlesbrough then?
Yeah, Middlesbrough 5-1. Tom's persuaded me a little bit with the under goal thing there. I think under 1.5 goals does look a gift, but maybe a 1-0 win for Middlesbrough.
5-1 Middlesbrough for Derek. Tom?
We're all about the northeast away from home. Sunderland for me at Swansea.
Yeah, 13-5 Sunderland to win at Swansea. And I like Burnley to beat Bournemouth at home. This is a good treble this week, listeners. You can play it as a Trixie, of course. Please do. And Middlesbrough 5-1, Sunderland 13-5, Burnley 23-10, 70-1. That treble, that looks good, doesn't it?
Very good, very good.
Excellent. You like that, Derek?
I do. It's got winner written all over it. Unlike me.
Do check out the Punt Podcast via iTunes. Check us out on Audio Boom as well. Just type in William Hill to access it. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. McGovern.
Pleasure.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned into the Punt Podcast this weekend. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com. And if you're having a bet on the Premier League, the very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.